Some of you may recall a homily I shared a while back where I spoke about my desire in seminary formation to enter a religious community that was being formed up north. The founder of this community would visit Louisiana every now and then. The founder was this priest who was able to manifest just a lot of extraordinary gifts in his ministry of healing and deliverance. And I was drawn to learn more about these gifts. And I was drawn to be like this priest. I wanted to imitate him. He motivated me to be holy when I saw the way that he was able to do the work that he was doing for the Lord. But as we began to spend more time together, he began to say things to me off to the side that didn't sit well in my soul. He would pull me to the side every now and then, and he would say, "Josh, I know you want to be holy, but you're never going to be as holy as this particular person. Or Josh, I know that you have a great devotion to the Blessed Mother, but Mary loves this particular person more than she loves you." And he would say these things to me, and because I saw so many extraordinary things happen in his ministry, I believed his words. And one day after he spoke these words to me, I was driving home from Covington to New Orleans, and I began to lament to the Lord in prayer on the causeway. And I said, "God, why would you bring this priest into my life if he's just going to tear me down and beat me up all the time?" And what I perceived the Lord say to me in prayer was, "Josh, I've not called you to the priesthood so that you can receive affirmation from other priests. If you want affirmation, you come to me, and I will give you rest in prayer, and I will tell you how much I love you and how holy you can be in prayer." And so I drove to the seminary, Notre Dame, and I went to the chapel, and I went before the Lord in the Eucharist, and I said, "Okay, well, Jesus, here I am. Tell me you want me to be a priest. Tell me I could be holy. Tell me I could be a saint." And of course, the Lord did, and it was very healing. But unfortunately, I let the healing stop there in my experience with God in prayer. I didn't expose that which I shared to God in prayer to anyone else. Not to my spiritual director, not to a good, faithful friend who was wise in the spiritual life and could speak truth to me. I still slightly believed maybe what that priest was saying was true. Maybe I'm never going to be holy. Maybe Mary's not going to love me. Maybe what I experienced in prayer wasn't the truth, even though it felt like the truth when I had the encounter with God before the tabernacle in that chapel. I still allowed my shame and what this priest was saying to me keep me chained down. I still remained in that community discerning if I was going to leave the diocese to join religious life. And then the group of us were heading to Medjugorje in December to go pray, and I didn't want to go. I just wanted to be able to break free from this community, but I didn't know how to break free from this community. And so I go to Medjugorje, and right before we went, I said a prayer to God. I said, "God, if this is not of you, please just sever any unholy tie that is keeping me a part of this community, because I just don't feel like this is where I'm supposed to be." And while we were in community, the priest, he manifested everything opposite of what St. Paul spoke about in today's second reading. He manifested impatience, and he was unkind, and he was not gentle, and he was brooding in front of the group of people that we were with. And so because the other guys saw this other side of him that I had already seen, I finally felt like I could maybe share some of the words that he had spoken to me off to the side for this whole time. And when I told my brothers what this priest had said, they all said, "Josh, that's so ridiculous. We can't believe he said that to you. You know that's not true. You know that's a lie. You know that's not of the Lord." I found more healing from Christ through the body of Christ because I exposed this shame that I was experiencing because of the words that this priest said to me to the light. I brought it to the light. Just like I brought it to the light in prayer to Jesus and the healing process began, the healing process continued when I exposed this to the body of Christ, the church. And it was when I exposed this to the church, that's whenever I was able to find freedom and finally just walk away and break ties from this particular community. It's as if what happened to the Good Samaritan and the man on the side of the road happened to me. Right? There's this man and he's wounded off on the side of the road, and the Good Samaritan comes to him, sees him in his woundedness, and is invited by him to take care of him, and the man begins to experience healing from the Good Samaritan. But then the Good Samaritan takes him to the inn and says, "Now I need you to tend to him." and I will come back for him. The Good Samaritan is Jesus. But Jesus did what? Jesus took the wounded person and gave him to the church and said, okay, that which I began, I need you to continue right now. Continue this healing process. I'm going to be the one doing it, but in and through you. Today's gospel, Jesus Christ is speaking about people who suffer from leprosy. And he names someone who was healed, this guy named Naaman. Naaman was a character in the Old Testament who was revered by his community. He was respected. He was feared. Everyone reverenced Naaman. He had all his stuff together. He was a great leader. He was a warrior. He had this armor that everyone just said, man, Naaman's the guy. But what no one saw was beneath that armor was a very wounded man. Because Naaman had leprosy and he was slowly dying and nobody knew about it but him. His body was falling apart. He was deteriorating and nobody knew but him. And so he went to the prophet Elijah for help. And Elijah said, the only way you're going to find healing is if you take off your armor. Expose your wound to the light. Naaman did not want to do that. Naaman did not want to expose his wound. He was ashamed of his wound. He was ashamed of what happened to him, and he kept it hidden. That was his secret. And as long as he kept it hidden, he continued to fall apart. And finally, he surrendered to the voice of God, to the prophet Elijah, and he exposed his wounds to the light, and he too was able to experience the healing that God had in store for him from his community. Our community right now also is very wounded. Our church is suffering. Our church is hurting. And when I say our church is wounded and suffering and hurting, I don't just mean the universal church. I don't mean just the church in America. I don't mean just the diocese. I mean our church, Holy Rosary Parish, is really wounded right now because of what some people who came here, who were sent here, have done to members of the body of Christ in our community. People who came here to be shepherds, and we assumed they would be good shepherds, but these shepherds did really bad, horrible things to particular people years ago in this community, and wounded people in ways that we cannot even imagine. Shepherds like James Clément and Clyde Landry and Jesse Ortego, who many of you were married by them and your kids were baptized by them and they heard your confessions and they walked with you. But they also hurt a lot of people. They hurt a lot of people in our parish. And we're wounded because of them. And the bishop very bravely released their names along with the other names in our diocese of other people who we thought were going to be sent to us to be bridges for us to encounter Christ, but instead became barriers to many of us. And many of us have suffered from these barriers in hidden ways because we haven't been able to bring it to the light. We've just kept it hidden. And seeing other people reporting their names is now triggering something in us of something happened to me too. And if it wasn't from them, maybe something happened in my family. Maybe something happened with a relative. Maybe something happened with a neighbor. Maybe something happened at work with a coworker. Maybe something happened with a friend. But I was wounded by someone else and I was violated in a way that really, really hurts me deeply in my core. And I've kept it hidden for so long. God is inviting us now to expose those wounds to the light. First and foremost, to bring those wounds to Christ in prayer. Whenever we come to Eucharistic adoration, another word for that is exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, because Jesus exposes his body, blood, soul, and divinity to us in the Eucharist. He holds nothing back. He shares everything with us today the same way he shared everything with every person who came to the foot of the cross 2,000 years ago. He was totally vulnerable with his people, sharing everything. All of his blood came forth from his body then, and he gives us everything when we come to adoration, and he invites us to imitate him and expose our hearts with him. Our hearts are safe with Jesus. He will not hurt us. He invites us to expose everything, and when we expose everything to Him, we don't have to then navel gaze and look at what is God going to do with this wound that I'm now bringing to the surface because it's being triggered because the list is out now and everyone's talking about it. We just show Jesus, here it is, Lord, and then we reorient our eyes away from our wounds back to Him and His wounds and allow Him to be attentive to ours, allow Him to begin the healing process in that place of prayer. But that's where the healing begins. But God wants the healing to continue quite often, not just in prayer, but through members of the body of Christ who can reverence our wounds. Not every member of the body of Christ is capable of reverencing our wounds. So we have to be particular about who we share our wounds with. Because some people aren't capable, not because they're not good, they just can't do it. Maybe their wounds might be triggered if we share something with them and they can't accompany us, and then we feel even more wounded because we tried to share something with someone and they did not accompany us. They weren't able to. They weren't equipped to. But there are members of the body of Christ who are able and who are equipped to walk with us in experiencing the ongoing healing power of Jesus Christ. We have counselors who are available to us in our parish community at the Full of Grace Cafe who are waiting for people to call them and email them so that they can accompany you. They're waiting. Especially if you have wounds that are being triggered now because of everything that's coming to the surface right now. But we also have people in the diocese who want to accompany you as well, who want to offer counseling specifically if you experienced any woundedness, any pain and suffering from these people who are supposed to be our shepherds in our community. And they want to walk with us. It's free counseling they want to offer us. And they want to walk with us toward experiencing healing. There's so much more healing that's available to us. But the invitation is to expose that. Bring that to the light, to the diocese. Maybe you tried back then and they weren't listening. They're listening today. We have a new shepherd. We have a new bishop. And they're listening today. They want to help today. We need to get these things on the record today. Your identity will remain anonymous. Right? But we need to get this brought to the light for the healing to continue to happen. There are members of the body of Christ who can walk with you, not only through counseling, but there are members of our body who are in law enforcement, who, if things are still happening, can walk with us toward justice, toward experiencing justice. We as a church, we always proclaim mercy, but never without also proclaiming justice as well. We need the Catholic both and in our experience of being renewed by Christ. I, as your pastor, I want to accompany you. I want to walk with you. I want to pray with you. I'm not a counselor. I can only go certain places with you spiritually, and they can go the rest. But I want to listen to you. And if you tried to share your story in the past with a pastor and they did not listen, I apologize on behalf of them, but I will listen to you and believe you and accompany you toward experiencing Jesus and all that Jesus has in store for your continued healing. My invitation for us this week as a parish community is to be very intentional with our prayer and our fasting. For we have many members in our church today, right now, who are hurting. Many of our brothers and sisters have been wounded. And things are being brought to the surface and things are being triggered and they need our prayers so that they can experience ongoing healing from Christ. So let us be very intentional this week with our prayer, with our sacrifices, with our fasting for our brothers and sisters and also for ourselves. Because we too, all of us, even if we were not wounded by a shepherd or by a family member, a coworker or a neighbor, we all have other things that are going on in our hearts right now that the Lord Jesus Christ is inviting us to bring to Him first and then to discern with Him who we're called to invite to accompany us in the body of Christ so that we can all walk together to Jesus today. And in walking together to Jesus and His healing that He has in store for us today, we can open ourselves up to being able to remain in Jesus forever in the kingdom of heaven, where the fullness of healing that He has in store for us will be experienced by us in our walk toward eternity.